My in-studio guest is the Executive Director of Light of Life Rescue Mission on Pittsburgh's North Side. Jarell Gilliam is in studio and chance to go through a couple of notes before you head off to Light of Life. Again, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
I've learned a lot myself. I'm a native Pittsburgher, and I've learned a lot about the mission and what you do and your team every day, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
On behalf of our community, we talked about deserving and undeserving poor. Those are semantics used in the olden days to describe who and who should not be treated with the same level of generosity.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that that would play out today, of course, nobody would say that out loud, but in our city, a couple of examples, say that a person is suicidal. We would, you know, we would call 911. The police would come, admit them to a hospital because they're suicidal. We realize that when a person is suicidal, they're not able to make the right decisions. And so we put them in a place in order for them to get the help that they need. If we have a person that is laying out in the middle of the street, which has happened, and right in the middle of traffic, we will move them, a police officer will come, move them to the side of the road and put them on the sidewalk and leave them there. And the idea is, well, they're not asking for help. So they leave them on the sidewalk. Or somebody might have, we had some articles here recently about some people with severe mental health that attack some people. I've worked with police officers, they'll take them to the psychiatric hospital. In the past, they would have been admitted, but now if they do not ask to be admitted, unless it's severe cases, they'll be released back out in the streets. And underneath that is this idea that, well, okay, well, they just deserve, they want this, so they just deserve it. So let's create a camp for them to stay in. Let's let them stay in tents. And what I'm saying is we should have the same approach that we do with somebody who's suicidal. If somebody is slowly killing themselves by injecting heroin or fentanyl in their veins, we ought to have the ability to say and to come as a society and say, how can we help this person? If a person gets a DUI, a lot of people have tracked their recovery to the fact that they had to go to court because of a DUI. Why not have the same kind of idea where you can have court-ordered treatment? And we've seen this in some other cities that have worked well, where someone who is exhibiting these kind of extreme conditions can be court-ordered to get treatment. And when they get on medication and they are stabilized, they begin to make the right kinds of choices. So there are some innovative ways I think we can bring to our city to consider ways to change this this trend in our city.
And I'm sure, Jarell, even for you who does this every day, I'm sure you think about it every night, and it's part of your fabric of your life and what you do. You have moments of despair, I'm sure, but then you see amazing recoveries too.
Yes. I like to say that we're privileged, I'm privileged to lead an organization, great volunteers, great staff, but we get to see miracles happen every day. We get to see people who were living their life, had lost everything, thought they would never have relationships. We have mothers who thought they'd never have relationship with their kids, and now they're back reunited again. One of the greatest pleasures I have is being in a Giant Eagle or somewhere, and somebody will come up to me and say, I was in Light of Life 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I'm now working. I'm married. I have children, grandchildren. I was at Kennywood and had somebody come up with their grandkids, and they were in our program back in the 20 years ago. And so it's a privilege to do it. It is very challenging work as well, for sure, because we don't save everyone.
We talked about the numbers.
Yeah.
And the number of homeless has increased across the country.
Yes.
And certainly here in Pittsburgh, it's become much more visible than we've ever have seen in the past.
Yeah.
From your perspective, what are the numbers?
Yeah. One of the things that I think we need to do is decide that we want to find out and do a study on what is the exact number. And it cannot be a political issue. It cannot be driven by by dollars of showing if we can show decreasing homelessness. And our point in time survey on the county, it'll say somewhere between 800 and 900 homeless, probably around 200 or so are considered unsheltered. So they're living on the street. But we know that there's more than that. In the past, the way that we would define homelessness is basically if you did not have a mailing address, a permanent mailing address in a place that is suitable for human habitation, you were considered homeless. So if you were in prison and you were getting out in 2 weeks, you were eligible to get homeless services because we knew you did not have a place. Same thing if you're in rehab or other things. The way the new system was set up is that you're not considered homeless until you are homeless. And so if you're being evicted in 3 weeks, you have to wait until you're evicted before you can then apply for services. So those are the kinds of things we need to change. We know in the Pittsburgh Public Schools, 3,000 children have identified as being homeless. We know for Light of Life that we have served 3,000 unique individuals in 1 year. And so the number is bigger than what we're saying, and we need to figure out what that number is and then scale a solution to the size that's there.
One of the big takeaways from our conversation this morning for me is an average of 50
a day.
50 people a day in Allegheny County.
In Allegheny County.
Are being evicted from where they live.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
Yeah.
What happens next? Your mission continues. And if people want to support Light of Life Rescue Mission, please do. It's simple to do.
Yes. Lightoflife.org is our website. And you can come down and volunteer. We'd like to say, come and see. Just come and be a part of it. Experience it. We're making a change one day at a time. Pittsburgh is the greatest place to do that. And so thank you again for this opportunity.
And like our late mutual friend, Tun Chilkin, used to say, walk through the doors and
you'll never be the same.
Jarrell Gilliam, I can't thank you enough
on
behalf of so many people you help. And appreciate you coming in. We'll talk again and keep us posted.
I will. Thank you, Larry.
Rose. Man, I certainly feel like I just met one. Jarrell Gilliam, Executive Director of Light of Life Mission, what he does. Wow, he's just such a good human being. Inspired by. And if you know someone that's doing extraordinary things in our community, not looking for anything for themselves, we want to know about it. Our nominations are open at kdkradio.com. And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with one and only Lynn Hayes Freeland. Lynn, good morning. How are you?
Good. I am great, Larry. And, you know, just as you began that conversation saying we are looking for hometown heroes, after having listened to Mr. Gilliam, and I'm certainly familiar with him and the work he's done, I think that's exactly the kind of person the city needs to celebrate, because he brings such an empathy and a compassion to the people that he serves. It's just very impressive.
I would agree. There's a genuine kindness and sincerity with what he has done and what he's dedicated his life to do. So, yeah, I was inspired. I feel good about meeting him and knowing a little bit more. And I'm embarrassed, you know, I've lived in this city my whole life and heard of Light of Life, know kind of what they do, but was really impressed by the full scope of the work they're doing every day.
Oh, and, you know, like you, I learned things just listening to him. I mean, one of the things that stuck out at me toward the very end of the conversation when he said, you're not considered homeless until you are homeless. That is a systemic problem, because once you are homeless, it is much harder to regroup, to rebound once you have nowhere to go. Why is a system set up like that?
Yeah, well, he's working to change that, and I definitely support the work that he and his team are doing each and every day. So how are you?
You know what? I'm good. I mean, I've been through a lot of storms, just like everyone else, I guess, and crazy heat. You know, when I used to come down to Atlanta to visit on a regular basis, it would be hot, but not this, you know, feels like 105, 107 degrees. And now initially, because I do come back to Pittsburgh often, that was my relief coming home because the weather wasn't as hot. Well, guess what? That changed too.
Yeah, you know, we jumped 10 degrees in 60 minutes. So in 1 hour, it went from 70 to 80, and that's kind of where we are right now. No, we're not used to this heat, although Paul and I were looking as of more recent numbers. The average that we would have 90-degree or better days in Pittsburgh is average of 10. And now, today, it's already number 8, and we're just the first weekend of July, so more to come.
Yeah, and it seems to me like those 10 days would come more like the end of July or even into August.
Yeah, well, things are different. You can argue about the politics of why they're different, but I don't think anybody can actually challenge that things are different. How about
that things are different?
How about this guy? Check this out. In Las Vegas, CBS's Carter Evans.
It was 120 degrees in Las Vegas on Sunday. That's the hottest day ever recorded, and it's sending people to the emergency room.
And Marty sent me a picture of a guy wearing a fur coat.
Is this the guy? Yeah.
Death Valley.
Yeah.
131 degrees. That's, I don't know what you do with that. Oh, but it's
a dry
heat.
I don't either. But even still, at that point, it doesn't matter. That's still hot. And that's, I mean, Pittsburgh has a lot of humidity, and that makes a big difference when it comes to managing these kind of temperatures. The humidity can make it just unbearable. And cooling centers are opening up across the country, but I'm just not sure that's enough. I think that at some point, we got to look at some bigger solutions, because I don't think this is going to reverse.
All right, so what do we do about it? I mean, you know, we're always hearing about this climate change, and what can you as an individual do on a daily basis to contribute or change that? I think most people just go, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there is. I mean, I think that first of all, we have to admit, there are so many things that have become politicized that we can't.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Move past the politics of a subject, then issue, in this case, climate change, because it's become so political. There are those who believe climate change is a real thing. There are those who believe it isn't. And so as a result, we never move forward. And as a result, Washington never moves forward. I mean, I don't know for sure what you and I can do. And if we could do something, it would be minimal. But I suspect Washington could do a lot.
And what's on your cranium this morning, speaking of politics?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I was watching, you know, and I do. I flip around in the mornings. I watch a little bit of all of the morning shows just to get an idea of what's going on, what people are talking about. Did I miss anything overnight? And the shows aside, the commercials, the political commercials that are running right now. And guess what? They're going to be running for the next couple of months. They are so negative. It just, they've started to become like nails on a chalkboard for me. I just can't stand the hatred that is in all of these political ads, and it's not going to get better.
I think you're right, Lynn. All right, we'll stick around. We'll jump to the happy side, or will we? I know. I think most people just tune them out now. You just, I mean, it's July, and the conventions are coming up, and we're going to hear more of it, and it's not going away, so we got to suck it up. And 10 to 2 in between, Marty Griffin will check in with him in the next few minutes. What's on Getting Marty? And every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland, who spends most of her time in Atlanta, Georgia. And Paul Rasmussen points out, Lynn, that according to Wallet Hub, Atlanta is designated as number one most affordable destination for summer travel.
Oh, is that why there's so much traffic and that's why it's been so crowded down here lately?
Yeah, I think because isn't the airport there, Hartsfield, the busiest airport in the world?
It is considered to be the world's busiest airport, although I can say this with some authority as someone who goes to that airport a lot. It's nothing like the lines we're seeing in the Pittsburgh airport.
I
know they put in a new process.
Oh, but I don't know. So you're saying the lines in Atlanta are shorter?
They are. I mean, when I saw those lines going all the way back down that hallway that leads to the parking lot, and from everything I understand, it was like one or two people short of being outside. That's crazy.
It is. Paul and I saw yesterday morning, flypittsburgh.com has a little uptick or monitor, which gives you the, you know, latest in the wait times. And at one point yesterday morning, it was 104 minutes at the regular, you know. So when you think about that, that's unimaginable for Pittsburgh. And now I just checked the alternate. TSA security is closed right now, but it's only 13 minutes for the main TSA security line. So.
Well, you know what? Here's part of the rub, though, I think, and I'm sure other travelers are like I am. When I'm booking a flight, I tend to try to get the first flight in the morning, the earliest flight possible, because I feel like, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I do feel as if the chances of delays grow as the day goes on. So if I'm on the first flight in the morning, then I have a better chance of not being delayed somewhere in the course of my travel. As a result, I just think these airports are totally packed for those 5 a.m., those 6 a.m. flights. And somehow or another, that's where the backlog happens. Now, I know that Pittsburgh is getting a new airport sometime in 2025, and there'll be more lanes, more check-in lanes. But in the meantime, what are you supposed to do? I have a couple of trips coming up to Pittsburgh, and every one of my return flights out of there is at 5 a.m. It's making me very nervous.
Well, I can just say this. It is literally a crapshoot. I found out this morning that yesterday when I went to pick up my son at 4 o'clock, the line was all the way down the corridor, right? Not supposed to happen at that time of the day. And then I had found out that there may have been an issue with somebody trying to get a handgun, and they shut things down for like 25 minutes while they're sorting those things out when they confiscate something from somebody. So the point is, you never know when that's going to happen. You know, we're kind of spoiled, and we have a tendency to think, well, that won't happen to me. But I could see a lot of unhappy people yesterday in that line.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned the handgun. We've seen a proliferation of people. They all kind of say they forgot, they didn't realize they had the gun in the carry-on bag. But it does make you wonder, why is TSA finding so many guns at our airports?
I just, maybe it is. People just forget for the most part. Meantime, they had a guy the other day with a samurai sword. And then here in Pittsburgh, a couple of grenades. I mean, I don't know why you would think that would be an issue to take them on an aircraft. Or fireworks. You know, they're filled with gunpowder.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong. There are still laws in Pennsylvania that prohibit fireworks, correct?
No, we're in the modern age now, Lynn, since you left us. Yeah, fireworks are legal in Pennsylvania for the most part. I mean, not like M80s, but, you know, then everybody cheats.
Right.
So if you open the door, yeah, you no longer have to go to Ohio to get your fireworks.
Okay.
You just can't take them. You cannot take them on an aircraft.
On the plane.
Just to be sure.
let me circle back for a minute. A samurai sword. Isn't that a big thing?
Yeah.
It's not like a little.
I don't know.
A little thing. It's big, right?
Wouldn't think, well, why can't I take my samurai on board? You know, it's more the people, you know. And then when that happens, then they got to shut everything down. So, again,
it affects everyone else.
It's a crapshoot. Yeah. They say it'll be a lot better when we get to the new airport, but still, in between, you got to deal with it. So, all right, what are you doing? Well, I guess I'll talk to you next Tuesday. What are you doing between here and there?
What am I doing between here and there? You know what? The thing I came for more than anything, babysitting. We have my daughter is pregnant. She's due any day now. So I'm kind of on baby watch, if you will. And again, it's so hot, Larry. I go out before 6 a.m. and after 8 p.m. Otherwise, I try to stay in. It's just too hot. It's too hot for me.
Stay
cool. I like hot weather.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, you too.
Lynn Hayes Freeland on the Big K Morning Show. We'll check in with Marty Griffin coming up next. He got short shifted yesterday.
What?
We had Pirates baseball, but a full 4 hours, 10 till 2 with Marty Griffin. Marty, you were right.
I'm always right, Larry.
Crime increasing downtown. Police are...
The mayor was in my face, in my grill about this. I'm just...
And
hey,
about
man,
the increased homelessness and encampments?
I want Pittsburgh to be a wonderful place. And I will do, and Larry will do, and the mayor will do anything to make it better. And it's kind of the goal here. Not to say Pittsburgh sucks, but until you know there's an issue, kind of like the marriage, right? The marriage that falls apart, no one knows why, but the couple hasn't talked in 2 years, and they never have sex, and they never talk, and they have separate bank accounts, and everybody wonders why it didn't work. It's kind of like that. Seriously. Hey, and then everybody says, why didn't it work? And I say, I know why it didn't work. They didn't talk. I told my wife this last night, until there's no crime downtown, none, until the streets are clean. I mean clean, bro. The rich white folks, and that's what they're talking about here, won't go back downtown. I sat at dinner with a rich guy Friday night. Him and his wife were going to move downtown. Now they're saying, hell no. I'm just saying, bro.
Well, hey. I knew somebody, they lived in the suburbs their whole adult life, couldn't wait. When the kids left, they moved to the city.
Now they're out.
Yep.
I've seen it. This couple has a mansion in Upper St. Clair. Same thing. Now they're saying to hell with it. Hey, regarding the airport, and Patrick's wife got me thinking this morning because she was talking about how TSA sucks. Look, it's not them. And I talked to my boys at the airport, and here's what happened. Have you tried to fit a tennis ball into a garden hose? Okay? Real basic stuff, my man. When the airport was built, Larry, when it was just a hub, there were 5 million Pittsburghers that flew. That's it. The rest of them are all connecting flights. Okay? Now, this year, there are 10 million Pittsburghers using the airport. So you've got the tennis ball and the garden hose. Which says two things. The economy's coming back. The people are traveling again. And this airport's too small. And the new one will facilitate what you've been talking about. But until it does, bro, those lines will be those lines.
It's a crapshoot. You just never know.
No, it's just a hell of a wait. By the way, we went to Barcelona last year. Here, there's a point to this. We were in the airport for 4.5 hours. I'm just saying, in Europe, it sucks every day.
They don't want people over there anymore. Did you hear that? They're squirting them with squirt guns.
Yeah, so that's ignorance. It's a wonderful city. They're so good to tourists. It's so clean. It has such amazing food. That's a couple more.
Where are you going this year? Any big trips?
Aspen, Larry. Aspen, Colorado.
During the summer?
Where the rich people hang, Larry.
Well, you have family there. Christine's
Larry,
sister there, right?
I'm wealthy. I'm famous. I'm great looking. And my wife is hot. Remember all those things and put on a damn t-shirt. My man, Patrick.
Patrick, you've heard this before.
Oh, a few times.
He lives it. He watches the rain.
I see it. You guys are streaming live.
Hey,
it's network quality.
Before we go, brother, our friend, and you remember him because I was calling him a lot, Taras from Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah.
Sent me videos and pictures yesterday that made me cry, honestly.
That children's hospital.
Cancer patients.
Bombed. By the Russians.
We're going to talk to him live.
Oh, man. Can't imagine. So if you think you're having a challenging day, what time's he coming on?
Right at the top. And hey, here are the projected numbers of the Pittsburgh Police Department. If the insane exodus continues, 654 comms.
How many do they need?
900. Hey, Larry. Ugh. I got the numbers right here in my hand. 654 active cops. Larry, what do they call that? An SHI blank show.